Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Back to the Starter Five podcast on SB Nation, Greasy Bear Blues. I am the one P Shark, aka still Mr. 500, but may be close to not being Mr. 500 anymore.
What's going on, everybody? I'm @_ScottLead on Twitter. It's shoot around this way going on lately. So without the baby this week, so it should be good on my end, Sharky.
What is good, everybody? This is Trevor, aka the Chief of Staff of Dillon Brooks Island. I'm just enjoying all the riches, enjoying everything right now. Things are looking wonderful right now on Dillon Brooks Island. What's good, everybody?
Yeah, I think I did buy at least one stock of that Dillon Brooks stuff from you all. I hope I did. If I didn't, I should probably reinvest. But it's shitty, man. I'm about to throw a download to my big man in the paint.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate the pass. Your man, Tev Shakir, man. Mr. Over 500. Putting in work in the paint, man. And I promise every single time, 10 times out of 10, when I do my job, put my work in, the first thing I'm doing is taking my butt to the shower. I don't know about y'all, though. How y'all doing?
I guess I am excited that you at least are showering. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. Showering is important, man. Especially after doing a long day's work. It's very important.
In case nobody knows what this is in reference to, we'll get to that right now. So the Grizzlies went 3-1 this week. 3-2 if you count Sunday's game against the Pacers, since it was on a Sunday, the true beginning of the week. But based on our podcast order, that doesn't go into our week predictions. So they went 3-1 in our weekly predictions. So started off Monday, beat the Bulls 101-90. Then Wednesday, the big game with Tuka's referring to about Ja's tweet. About 5 minutes after the game, apparently before he got in the shower, we lost with a crazy buzzer beater to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, 114-113. Friday, beat the Bulls again by 11 points again in Chicago, this time without Zach LaVine. Then a very impressive road win Saturday night against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee by 13. So, guess for this week, 3-1, no 2-2. What are your thoughts about the week as a whole?
Really solid week by the Grizzlies. My tone is a little different. I'm not as upset. They did grab three really important games this week. As you mentioned, they took two against the Bulls. They got a really good win against the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, that loss to the Mavericks, you know, Sharky, I don't know if I've recovered from that game yet, you know. And really, I'm really just – for my piece, that's the game that I want to highlight. I know I'm all about positivity. I'm all about the glass being half full. But, you know, that game against the Mavericks is a tough one. That's a game that the Grizzlies, in my opinion, showed for the majority of the game that they were the better team. They showed that they were more the aggressor in that matchup. But yet and still, at the end of the day, if you do not make free throws – I don't care if it's at the FedEx Forum. I don't care if it's at the Tech Hub. I don't care where it's at. If you're not making free throws, you're not winning basketball games. And yet we were yet again. But the challenge of making free throws, if you make free throws, you go home. If you don't make free throws, you lose the game. And sure enough, Grayson Allen missed 91% shooter. on the season, got up there and walked up there and missed two really important free throws. And from there, the Luka Doncic or the Luka Magic stepped in and they took the game. So solid win, but I really, really would have wanted that Mavericks game because it's on national TV for us in the Memphis market. We talk about Memphis not having, you know, a good amount of games on TV the Grizzlies aren't televised enough, but you got to win those games. The games that you are on TV, you have to win those games. And when you aren't winning those games, you kind of can't be too mad at ESPN or TNT or for whoever for that matter for not winning those televised games. So good week, but really wanted that Mavericks game.
Yeah, it's not really too much to really hop on for this week for the Grizz. And Scottie said, very solid week, which rather would love to have gotten that Mavericks win. But, you know, things happen when you miss free throws, and we saw that firsthand. Mentioned last week about how that game against Dallas could potentially be a major factor in the Grizzlies possibly getting the seventh seed as of right now, which that is still in play right now because I believe they're only two games back of Dallas for that seventh spot. And not even that far back from sixth either, which is ironically because we'll get to Portland, I guess, at some point. But to Skyler's point, Grayson Allen missing those two key free throws in the end of the Dallas game really cost us. But he made up for it on Saturday with a hell of a performance in the Milwaukee game. Seven threes with Grayson Allen on the day. So, of course, I got to give him his kudos there. The two wins against Chicago, those were the games that I were worried about last week, given how Chicago has played well since acquiring Nikola Vucevic. But, of course, Chicago has had a pretty bad record playing on second night of a back-to-back. So, thankfully, we were able to catch them in the first matchup on that back-to-back, and then the second one was basically the Dylan Brooks show. So, again, solid week for the Grizz. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, we needed that win against the Mavericks. That's not sugarcoated. I think we needed that for our confidence. We needed that going into the playoffs. Of course, like you said, we'll talk about playoff standings later on. But I just needed to see a win. Whether it came down to free throws, last possession or what have you, we needed that win against the Mavericks on live TV, on national TV at that. And so I'm glad that we are kind of like taking some time to talk about how disappointed we are. Yes, we beat the Milwaukee Bucks. We actually did beat a Bulls team twice in a row. But we really, really needed that game on Wednesday. Not only just the free throws missed, I think you play as good as you could, right? That's a prayer that goes up. You're off balance. You're leaning forward towards the rim. You're at least 28 feet away from the rim. So, and that didn't even touch glass. That just went purely in. But I don't know, man. I'm real hurt still about the Mavericks win. But kudos to us beating the Milwaukee team that did have Giannis, though, right? Yeah. We did beat the Bulls fully intact. So, yeah, I mean, we're still 3-1. And so when we're talking about playoff standings, that's better than the 2-2 that we usually get out of ourselves. So let's at least take the 3-1, I guess. But I'd rather that 3-1 that would have been the win against the Mavericks, and I could have took a loss against the Bulls, to be honest, for this week.
Hey, at least they're streaking.
Of course.
Yeah, but that streaking only means so much, brother. Right. When people go streaking, sometimes they want certain people to see them, and I think the Grizzlies, if you can go streaking, you kind of want the Mavericks to see you, but I'm sorry, that was a little too much.
Right, I definitely wanted to talk about, you know, a good four game win streak coming into this podcast, right? Like, y'all pretty much said everything that I wanted to say. As far as the week go, as far as the Bulls games, we won games we were supposed to win. So, and I don't think that's to be taken lightly, because over the, you know, of course, over the season, we've given up games, right, to teams that we're supposed to win. So shout out to the Grizz for getting those two dubs. As far as the Mavs game go, I'm with y'all. National televised game. We got the lead. We literally do it exact everything that we were supposed to win, except win. You know, it took a Jesus shot for Luka, you know, to do for him to beat us. So I mean, I guess I can take that, right? I guess we can take that as Grizz fans. So you know, we took that punch in the face, and you know, we came out and did what we're supposed to against the Bulls, and then Grayson Allen came out And, you know, 7 for 10 threes is what I love to see from Grayson Allen, especially against the Bucks team, who I thought would have lost with Giannis. But we came and played defense. We came and hit our shots. Like Skylar said, shoot a shoot. And that's what we're seeing right now from our Grizzlies, especially from our young gun, Desmond Bain. Definitely want to salute him for just coming in and just, like, I don't know if we talked about this, but this may be the best shooting Grizz team I've seen. I don't know if we want to wait to talk about that later or not. And I'd love to have a debate, but I love what I'm seeing from this young team with Scrappy. We're giving away wins, but at the same time, we're starting to win the games that we're supposed to. So, and I think that's going to balance out when playoff time comes.
Not much debate on my end, at least from recent history, including the Grit and Grind Grizzlies. Had to go back and do the research to the Hubie Browns Grizzlies to see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We talk about that next week. Let's say that.
Yeah, that's a good one though. That'd be something we'd look into. But overall, I guess you could say Bucks win kind of made up for the Mavericks loss. But did you think about, man, we could have been 4-0 this week? Or
right. Right.
Go back to the Knicks game last week. We could have been, 6-0 our last six road games? Like, come on. Like, we did not win close games because apparently the games we have won, won by 11 twice and won by 13. The games we have lost, we lost by one. We lost Indiana by, 3 or 4? I want to say 7. Well, it was like a 2-point game, but like a minute to go.
It was closer than the score said.
Yeah. And really that game, we got blitzed in the first quarter and made a comeback. But close games, that's the ones we need to focus on and finally improve upon. But I can't get too mad at the Grizzlies, man. After that, after they lost in the Mavericks, as a young team, you could have got your head down and could have came out flagging Chicago and lost like they did against Indiana after the Knicks game. They learned from the lesson with the Indiana game. They came back, got down the mud, beat Chicago, then got a very impressive win against Milwaukee. So can't be too mad. They're definitely streaking. Can't wait to see their upcoming schedule. So coming up, we do first up, before we get to upcoming schedule, let's look at standings. We are firmly number 8, 2 games ahead of Golden State and San Antonio, and now 3 games. Shout out to the Knicks and Coach Savage with a win against New Orleans today. Now we are 3 games ahead of New Orleans. Steph is on the roll right now, but they still are losing some of the games he's going off in, so he's still something to be wary of in a play-in if it gets to that point. But now we're 1 game behind the Mavericks, and this is where the Mavericks loss hurts because tiebreakers. The Mavericks won the season series because we only played them 3 times. So if it ends in a tie, they get us. So based on the standings, how y'all feel now?
As far as everybody that's behind the Grizzlies, nothing's changed, but to kind of go back to what was said not too long ago, you said you can't be too mad at the loss at the Mavericks. I'm sorry. I'm still kind of salty about that. I'm not going to even lie to you. And just for the simple fact that you just mentioned that now, you know, you're 2 games back of the you're 2 games back of the Mavericks because you're 1 game back overall. Then they have the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So you would really want to kind of move close to that, you know, the 6th, 7th seed. Potentially, you know, avoiding, because, you know, you never know if the Lakers going to make a charge coming down the stretch. The Clippers, you want to be able to avoid teams like that. Phoenix, too. So you definitely want to try to, like, put into perspective. But you like Sheedy said, you got to win those games. It's good to beat the Bulls. It's good to beat the Bucks. But what good is that if those aren't the teams you're seeing in the playoffs? What good is that if those aren't the teams that you're seeing in the playing game? And you need that for, you know, you need those dubs for memory, for like, so when you have those playing games, you can say, okay, well, we did grab the game against the Mavericks back in December, or we did grab the game against the Portland Trail Blazers back in March. Whatever the case, you need and want those dubs. And the fact that you haven't gotten those, you're beating teams behind you, you're beating other inferior teams in the East, that's fine, but you have to get games. You had a chance to get the games against the Mavericks. You have the Trailblazers coming up. You got to be able to get those games.
Yeah, that's the key. They play Portland 3 times coming up. So that's the only reason I said can't get too mad at the Mavs game, because, like, you still got opportunities. But to your point, like you said, we lost the season series. So that's a tiebreaker that's lost no matter what.
Yeah, if they perform well against Portland, they could very well be the 6th seed by the time next week comes. So I'm upset at the Mavericks game, but I'm not too much upset because I know like we're still like right there. We're still within range where we felt the Grizzlies are feeling they're going to finish between nowhere below 10th. We know that for a fact. But for the fact of them possibly looking to get the sixth seed, we'll see what happens against Portland. I think if they can grab two out of those three and maybe get some help from other teams, possibly beating Dallas, I can't see us falling no farther than being no further than seventh by the time next week comes. Just saying.
Yeah. I know we don't play Dallas again, right? It's just
We played them again. We only played them three times. So even if we beat them the last time, they won twice already.
Gotcha. Man, I agree, Trevor. There's no way that we could be anywhere out of the 10th spot, right? I think we all agree that we do not fall, no matter what, out of the 10th spot. And if we do, I think there just needs to be a serious, serious consideration about where we're going if we fall out of the 10th spot at this point in the season, regardless of what happens, right? I really think that. Now, moving forward, spot-wise, I think it benefits us, of course, to be out of the 7th AC. That gives at least a chance if we lose a game within the playing scenario, we still have a chance to fight. Whereas if we fall 9th or 10th, and then we show up and, you know, we have a Dallas Mavericks game again, right? Because it's going to be live and broadcast TV. Everyone's going to watch the playing game. There's no way this goes to, like, I don't know, YouTube TV, and we don't get to see this at all. So that's another thing, too. Like, how do we play when the lights are on with a team like the Mavericks? That's why, again, I think we need that win. I think we all agreed about that last week against the Mavericks. So the thing that I would love to see is just that we hold firm with 7th or 8th. The Warriors are I don't know what Steph Curry's been drinking and been passing along to some of the Warriors, but I mean, that team looks like the Davidson team that made a run. I'm just saying. Notice that I said the Davidson team. I didn't say the Warriors team. I said the Davidson team. And it just takes a game. So that's the thing that scares me is the Warriors and coaching. We'll see him in the playing scenario. Besides that, I think the Grizzlies will do well, and hopefully lock up the AFC. But again, that means that we have to see Dallas. I don't think Dallas and Portland are going to move or interchangeable. But if we had to see Portland, I don't even want to see them in a one game playing scenario either, to be honest.
Can I jump in real quick? For me, I think The Warriors, I can definitely see a scenario in which the Warriors say, you know, we may shut Steph down. I could very well see that because he's putting up 40 a game and he still got Draymond fumbling the bag. You see what I'm saying? So Clay ain't coming back. Clay's not coming back. James Wiseman is right now. It's a non-factor for the Warriors, in my opinion. And I could very well see the Warriors, you know, mailing it in and say, you know, I'm okay with, you know, taking my loss in the playing game because if you win your playing series matchup, then who you got? You still got the Jazz, you still got the Clippers, the Lakers. You ain't beating them, so I could see a scenario in which they mail it in and Steph may, you know, get sent home a couple weeks before the season ends. I could see that.
I don't see the Warriors shutting Steph down. I see history shutting Steph down. And what I mean by that is normally, you know, watching the Warriors like I do, whenever Steph is overworked, we enjoy watching them work. And then history comes in and say, all right, bro, let me show you why you got one of the worst ankles in the NBA history, right? And we saw that, like, what, last game, something like that? So yeah,
fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. Yeah, so it's like – I love Steph. Y'all know me. I love Steph Curry. I love the Warriors. But the Warriors not going to do it. History going to do it. Like, history is doomed to repeat itself. That's why I kind of told you, Sheeta, like, of course the Warriors are a threat. Don't get me wrong, to, you know, for the 8 seed. But Steph Curry is going to put up great numbers. And then all of a sudden, he's going to overwork himself. So I think, to your point, Skylar, I think if the Warriors were to shut Steph down, that would be smart to do it now. And the reason I said that is the reason why I've been saying that all season long. They got to potentially get two lottery picks from the Timberwolves. If I'm going to shut Steph Curry down, I'm going to do it right now so I can get a chance to possibly get what, two top five, two top seven picks? If that's my mode of thinking, if I'm gonna shut Steph Curry down. But we know Steph Curry. We know he's gonna keep going until history repeats itself. So I mean, until then, you know, it's what 23 games left for them. Yeah. but as far as the Grizz go, of course, I don't see us falling out. I do expect us to continue to fight for that 60, like I said, because we do got important matchup against the Blazers, and also the Mavericks got the Lakers twice this week. We saw what they just did without LeBron and AD. So their role players are stepping up, and I think they'll do that against the Mavs at least once. That'll help us out, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get into our Grizz records real soon. So I don't see us falling. I only see us going up.
For sure. Yeah. I don't see us falling out of 10. I know we're on this current 7-game road trip that we are at 2-0 in. As you can see, our road record is 16-10. But we have a losing home record. As my name states, there's really no place like home. Yeah, they need to stay on the road. So I'm fine. 5 games left on the road. They're a better road team than home team. I trust the Grizzlies on the road. I do not trust them at home. So they ain't falling. But who is your Grizz of the week?
Grizz of the week, I really wanted to go Grayson Allen, but he missed 2 free throws that cost him the game. So I'm going with Desmond Bane. I'm going with Desmond Bane because he has gradually progressed, in my opinion, as a rookie throughout this season. He's shooting really well from the three-point line. He's added more to his game. He's been able to put the ball on the floor, score, set other players up to score and things like that. And I think recently, Trevor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's moved up to like the top 5, like, you know, rookie standings of four, like who could get rookie of the year. So for me, it's Desmond Bane, Mr. I think Savage called him Mr. Phone Booth.
Yeah, Savage calls him Mr. Phone Booth because of his jump shot form. Shout out to Savage for that. And yes, he's currently in the NBA.com top 5 rookie rankings right now. So shout out to Desmond Bane here there. I went with the wing players last week for my Grizzlies of the week. And I'm probably just going to stay there because threes have been falling for the Grizzlies right now. Grayson Allen, although, yes, he did miss those 2 free throws in the Dallas game. We just talked about it earlier. He had a great performance against the Bucks, 7 threes. Desmond Bane has been looking great his entire rookie season. Shots have fallen for him. And Dylan Brooks has been Dylan Brooks. I can't believe I haven't said anything negative about Dylan Brooks probably it feels like a month. Like even with the one game where he missed those 2 layups, like it seems like every week I've been on, like it's been nothing but positive vibes right now with Dylan Brooks. So that's why DB Allen is hot right now. So yeah, for my Grizzlies of the week, it'll be the same as last week. It'll be the wing guys, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane, and Grayson Allen.
Yeah, for me, Grizzlies of the week goes to actually Grayson Allen. I'm going to give it to him. And I know the uncomfortness of, you know, he missed the free throws. I get it, right? He did miss the free throws. But if Grayson Allen doesn't play like he does in that game, we're not even in a position to be even up or down that close. On a night when we could get shots to really fall and things like that, Grayson Allen was actually there and carried us. You hate that he didn't make those free throws. Yeah. We also hate LeBron when he doesn't hit his free throws too. I love him.
And they don't give him MVP. So Grayson doesn't get started a week.
I hope Grayson Allen listens to this as a matter of fact. But I mean, I hear you. Yes. But Grayson Allen is turned into a better two-way player. That we don't have really locked under contract yet, I don't think. I think still underneath his rookie contract. He's a guy that's had many years, multiple years with the Mike Krzyzewski offense and having that tutelage with him as well. It's starting to really shine a little bit more than we may have perceived it to be. And he's not just hitting shots from the three-point line either. He's not afraid to go in a little bit more, has a few floaters up his sleeve. Not as good as Tyus, of course, but they're there. And he's playing decent defense. I mean, can't really knock him for that. So give me Grayson Allen for this start of the week, or Grizz of the week, excuse me.
Yeah, buddy. Shitty. I would actually echo those sentiments. Everything you did just said. My star of the week is also Grayson Allen. Even though he did miss those key free throws, I mean, it literally took Jesus shot number par two for the Grizz to lose against the Mavs. So, I mean, if Luka misses that shot, then we're talking about a Grizz when we're praising Grayson 100%. So even then, like, good defense, you know, he's stepping in into his role, averaged, what is it, 18 points over the week. I'm going to go ahead and stamp, you know, put this stamp on my guy, Grayson Allen, who I've been right on from the stump. Grayson Allen is either going to be a Grizzly for a long time, or he's going to go on the list that gets traded into a package that helps the team immediately wins the championship. Y'all know what we mean by that. Y'all know how the Grizz trade away players that go on to win rings. The latest one to do it was Marc Gasol. So I think the next player for that will be Grayson Allen. I love his energy. I love his swag. Like I said, he's turning into a better two-way player, like you said, Sheedy. Three-point shooting's getting better. And, you know, I think going into the final parts of the season, I'm expecting to see a lot more from Grayson Allen. So shout out to him. But work on your free throws, man. I think at this point, it's just a Memphis curse. So I don't even put these free throws.
He shot 91%. He was shooting 91% on the season. It
hurts, like I said.
And I said, it's the form. It's the form. It's the essence of the FedEx form that just manifests itself into the uniform. And then it carries into other arenas.
It's on the chair.
No, it's the form itself. I'm telling you.
So how do you explain
it's the message? In the air in the FedEx form, man.
How do you explain in this game last week? Because that was at Madison Square Garden.
Again, the essence of the form manifests itself into all of the uniforms, and it carries outside of the arena.
So, okay. I like Memphis Tigers are missing. The Memphis Tigers are missing on the road, too. They were missing at Houston and Dallas. So
I'm telling you, it's the form. It is something in the air at FedEx Forum that is causing Memphis to miss these free throws.
I'm gonna do some research.
Memphis on the jersey. If Memphis is anywhere on the jersey,
there we go. That's what I said.
I'm saying.
Because I'm gonna do some research about the pyramid and how free throw shooting happened in the pyramid. I'm gonna have to do some deep dive research and just see how to
I can't wait for the starting fives to get big enough so we can, you know, we can interview and call, you know, John Moran, Grayson Allen, and say, you know, what's the reason y'all can't make free throws? I can't wait for them to say it's because it's the FedEx form. I can't wait for them to say that.
let's still give praise to where it's due, man. Ja Morant did hit two free throws at the end of the Mavs game, which I honestly thought he was going to miss one.
Yeah, I thought he was going to miss them.
Because he missed some last week, so we get to ignore that one too. Sam, excuses are tools of the incompetent, too. That's what I've learned.
Won't get me again. Nope. You won't get me again. Nope.
All right, Sharky, who's your star of the week, man?
Yeah, I'm gonna go a little off the rails. I wanted to give the JV out on double doubles. Then he finally fell short of double doubles, but still had a great week. Wanted to give it to Kyle Anderson. He had a pretty solid week. Wanted to give it to Grayson, had a great week. And I wanted to give him Dylan for a great week. But rest in peace, DMX. X gonna give it to you. Give me a Xavier Tillman. Last two games, although beginning of the week can't do as well. Last two against the Bulls, back-to-back against the Bulls and the Bucks. And Xavier Tillman had 14 and I think 15 back-to-back games. Then that was his highest point total of the season. Gave great minutes, and he played at the end of the Bucks game. I thought JV was in foul trouble or something, but now he just played him over him because defensive versatility and everything. So give me a Xavier Tillman.
And shout out to Coach Jenkins for pointing that out because he should have did that in that Knicks game that we lost. If he would have switched out James, that's a win.
Definitely.
That's a win.
Yeah.
But it's shout out to Jenkins for finally realizing that. But that's neither here nor there.
That was definitely. But let's go ahead and get to this upcoming week. Like I said, road tripping. We're going to the Mile High City against the Denver Nuggets without Jamal Murray. But still, it's Denver Nuggets. They're still good. Play at the Clippers Wednesday. Then we back-to-back against the Blazers Friday and Sunday. What is your record for this week?
Are you asking me? Are you asking me?
You asking everybody.
I'm asking everybody.
But you start.
Okay. Cool. But I'm going to say, because you know what I'm going to say. We can run 500 again. Give me 2-2.
I mean, that's actually not even far-fetched. It's legit. I'm actually going to roll with 2-2 as well. Which two? I'm not sure.
Y'all cheating, man. Y'all know damn well y'all supposed to pick.
All right. I got you. We get the Clippers game, and we'll get that game Sunday against the Trailblazers. Those are my two.
I say you grab the Nuggets game because Jamal Murray is out. So give me the Nuggets. And I'll take that same Sunday game against the Portland Trailblazers that Trevor just took. I think Portland will ride high and put all their efforts into winning the game on Friday. And because it's an early tip on the West Coast, well, it's more so early for Memphis than it is for Portland. But still early tip. Portland may not care as much, and I think Grizzlies can probably steal that one. So the Nuggets and then that Sunday game against the Trailblazers.
I need 3-1. And I need 3-1 in the fact that I think we lose to the Clippers, and I say we win every other game. If we have a shot, if we're talking about getting into the sixth seed, if we're talking about making moves, then we need, I'm gonna start throwing it in now. So yeah, I said we could win two games against the Blazers. And those two wins will definitely maybe even put us in the 7th seed by the next time we talk to one another.
Yeah.
So you finally bookmarked that. I don't feel comfortable with his 3-1. His 3-1 scares me.
That's
especially with this schedule, going 3-1.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Jokic is still on the court for Denver, and I know Jamal Murray is out. He was non-existent in the last matchup against the Grizzlies. So, yeah, and Denver still found a way to win. So, I think the Clippers game is definitely one that you could definitely get.
If y'all scared of Sheedy's 3-1, y'all definitely scared of mine. Yeah, give me 3-1 again. Give me Denver, Clippers, and the Sunday fun day. That's what we're going to call it, since we all got the Grizz winning on Sunday. So again, give us the Nuggets, give us the Clippers, and give us the Sunday game against the Portland Trailblazers. I am Mr. Over 500 for a reason. Sheedy, welcome to the We Got a Chance to Get the Six Seed bandwagon. Happy to have you, and you will be staying. Trust me. So give me 3-1.
Y'all ready? Ready to get scared?
Go on, Seth.
Mr. 500 Shark ends this week. Give me 3-1.
Yes, sir.
We winning the first three: Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then we're gonna lose Sunday.
Hey.
Did I see us lose on the road? Like in this game, we blew that. Did I see us truly lose a road game? I ain't picking us to lose a road game until Sunday. Mr. 500 Shark ends this week.
Yes.
I hope for it, man. You want all those bookmarks, Kyler?
Yeah, and my name is Sharky, just displayed as shooting. Y'all are shooting today.
Yes, sir.
So, y'all let me
run. I'm scared. Hey, if they going 3-1, I'll take that. But three of y'all saying that they going 3-1, that scares the crap out of me. So, yeah. Okay. I hope y'all know something that I don't know.
If these are home games, I would say 0-4. So
that's tough. That is tough.
We're all about the numbers at this point, man. 16-10 away. Hey, come on, man.
So I do just before we jet, I just want to get a pulse check real quick. You know, Sheedy and Took, I'm going to come back to y'all. So y'all riding high on this over 500 thing for the past couple weeks. So y'all still feeling some type of way about the Kings and the Pelicans? Y'all still good on that? This is just a pulse check.
Hey, IT ain't there no more.
Look, man, sometimes you just got to take blessings as blessings. Don't nobody want to play for the damn Pelicans anyway.
There you go.
And to go back to your statement, if you want to be technical about your statement, really precise, it's about anybody behind the Grizzlies.
You following directions?
If you want to bring it up, we can bring it up word for word. So, yes, I am still scared for teams behind the Grizzlies. Yes. Is it always going to be the Kings and the Pelicans? No. But the Warriors and the Spurs are some of to mess with. Yes.
I was bringing up the pass, man. Just let the pass be the pass, bro.
Oh, okay.
Not on this show, he won't.
Right. He gonna say he want the pass be the pass, but want to say that Isaiah Thomas was gonna take Lonzo Ball's minutes. Got
it. I said it.
I have no backup for that one too. I have no backup.
No, you said that. I said nothing about Lonzo Ball, man. Don't put my cousin.
I'm hoping family in this.
Don't do it.
I'm using my judgment here. I hope you didn't say that. I'm pretty
sure. Y'all know doggone well.
Why would I use that family?
Lonzo Ball is family. Why would I do that to family?
He didn't say that specifically, but he said Isaiah was going to get a bunch of minutes. And I didn't know where those minutes was coming from. I mean, that's the only thing that you can say. Somebody had to sit down.
Eric Bledsoe sitting down. What y'all talking about?
Oh, okay, cool.
Now, Stan Van Gundy love him.
Exactly.
It works out for us, though. All right, man. Before we end off, man, got one last thing. Baxter Holmes for ESPN had wrote an article about NBA GMs, team health officials talking about fearing. Compressed schedule was leading to a rash of injuries, as just happened this week. Jamal Murray tore his ACL. Donovan Mitchell got hurt again. Just various stars. KD just got hurt again. Various stars in the round league again hurt. So, what are y'all? I guess how do y'all feel? Do y'all think the compressed schedule is leading to the injuries, or?
This is what I was afraid of at the beginning of the season, like the shortest offseason in NBA history. That's why you got a few players thinking that LeBron was actually going to rest at the beginning of the season, because like everybody's tired. You can't clump up so many games at one time. And then at the end of the season, while the NBA's trying to catch up, you know, we're going to call it play COVID games, it's going to damage the NBA product even more. And it's looking like all about money. Like, this season, literally, the one word about this season, money. They lied to the players about the All-Star game, and this is just the beginning. So, I mean, hopefully we can have a LeBron and KD in the NBA Finals. So, we'll see.
I'm not sure exactly what this is, but I think this is the basketball gods talking and saying that the regular season for the NBA should be cut down to maybe 60, 65 games, especially if we're going to have these play-in games, right? So that's, the season had, 72 games, I think?
Yeah, so you want to shorten the season even more?
Yes, because they've done nothing but add a few games already for these play-in games, right? So I think they just need to cut it down to more.
Okay.
I think 60, 65 is
honestly, 72 is fine. It's just the fact that they compressed it to, the season starting in December. 72 is okay.
I still think
that's bringing it down.
So let's say the NBA have an official full offseason as they have in the past. You still think 65 games going forward instead of the set? Because I like the 72 personally.
Yes, I don't think you need more than 60. I really don't think you need more than 65 games. You need 72, 82 games to tell me how good the team is? I don't think so. Really, but by the time you get to 65, 72 games, you already know who's in the playoffs for the most part.
Good point. Yeah.
I hear your point. I think the other games after that are more or less like seeding games. Like, you pretty much lock down maybe your first or second seed, but maybe like your 3 through 6 need to still, solidify themselves along 7 and 8. When the decision was made, you're not going to be able to please everybody. Something is going to happen. And basketball is the one unique sport that you can literally play year round. It doesn't matter if it's cold outside. It don't matter if it's a thunderstorm outside. It doesn't matter. That doesn't stop basketball, because basketball is an indoor sport. It sucks because of the condensed schedule. I think that's the part that sucks the most, having so many back-to-back nights. This league is not built on back-to-back nights. It didn't do that before. There may have been a night in between, or, take a road trip, the Texas trip as well. Like, if you go to Texas, you got to go to Dallas. You got to go to Houston and San Antonio within that whole stretch of time. But spacing out more, I think it's fine. I think 72 games is cool. I don't know about the play-in scenario. I just don't know about the play-in scenario. I think we can get this in a shortened season, yes. But then again, I don't want to take away the lore of the 72-10 Bulls or the 73-9 Warriors. I want to get a regular offseason is what I'm saying. And I don't want the playing scenario to happen after this season. I don't believe the playing scenario needs to exist.
Are y'all in agreement that with Dame Lillard and Mark Cuban that the playoff game or play-in games are dumb? Because my thing is, and I'm agree with Damian Lillard. He said it earlier this week. It was like, if teams spend all season fighting for eight spots, essentially, I'm summing up, for eight spots, they shouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting out of all that hard work for nothing in two games. That's basically what can – that's kind of what happened last year to the Grizz, even though Portland came out and did what they supposed to. All that season work was, you know, for nothing, especially when you, you know, two games. And then those two games, in my opinion, are put into the referees' hands. That's not cool. It's not cool at all. And I'm hoping this will be the, you know, the last time we hear about a play-in game, because it's whack. But how y'all feel about that before?
I think this – you can go, Trevor.
No, you go ahead. You good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is it for – I mean, I think – They're trying to recoup money. That's the only reason they hadn't played in. Last year, the same reason. They're not playing all 82 games. They got to make up some other money in other ways. So they're adding the play-in games for the additional, some additional compensation for money. So that's the only reason for it. I doubt it that it's going to exist after this season when their season gets back to normal.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
I was just going to say, I don't like it, the fact that, like, you know, I think the play-in game should be for like seeds 8 through 10. That's it. But involving the teams like 6 and 7, like, I don't think that's fair to them at all. I'm okay with 8 through 10. I'm okay with that.
8 to 10? Like, you need to add one more to kind of make it fair. So you're
going
to
they can figure it out. That ain't my job. I just don't think. I just think it should be those three. They can figure that out. They got money and they got the bonds to do that. I get what you're saying, Trevor.
Yeah, if you're gonna keep the same format, I'm with you. Just do 8 through 11. But I think at this point, I think you should add a some kind of rule in there as far as the gap between those, because. If you have a 4-5 game lead, you know, as a 7th or 8th seed, and it's 2 games left, like, there's no way that those other two teams below, and that's 9 and 10, is going to catch them. So,
right. So then I say you can do this. Maybe if you're the 8th seed and your lead above the 9th seeded team is less than 2.5 games, then maybe it's a playing game between 8 and 9 seed. If it's not, if it's greater than that, then the eighth seed holds, maybe that.
Similar to the bubble. So the bubble last year, it was 4 games, but it ended up working out to, it was only half a game between the Grizzlies and Portland. But I felt like it was 4 games. I like, that's right, unfair. Like, the team beat you twice, they still 2 games behind you, but they get in the playoffs. Like, that made no sense.
Yeah, they got lucky last season. They got lucky.
Very lucky. You got anything? Last thing, Sheedy?
The other part I would say about this is it also plays itself to, like, every game is important. Every game is a must win, actually. And so the playing game should, in hindsight, make there be more games for us to watch throughout the year, because you shouldn't be resting players as often because you don't want to get into a play-in scenario, so to speak, i.e. the Blazers, i.e. Mavericks. Grizzlies, we've probably rested people maybe, what, 1 game or 2 games I can recall. This entire year. Every game is important. So, I just want to get away with the playing games. I think after this season, we should be done with this conversation for that. But for right now, as it stands, I am still worried about the teams that are behind the Grizzlies. Yes.
Yeah, we haven't had to rest much because everybody's been hurt in and out. So, hopefully it finally gets to a point where everybody's back. But I'm not about to get into that until I actually see some people on the court. So, that does it for this episode, y'all. Remember, follow us, Starting Five, the number 5, MEM on Twitter. Follow Greasy Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies, and listen to the other podcasts on the network, 3&D Podcast, Core 4 Podcast, and GBB Live. Remember, follow me at @DeWine_PShark.
I'm @_ScottLady on Twitter, where shooters are always going to shoot.
Reporting live from Dillon Brooks Island, this is @TheArtOfTrevor. First letter of each word is capitalized, except of, because it's a preposition.
Got you, man. And it's 50 Shades of Sheedy. It's really Sheedy on Twitter.
Make sure y'all follow your boy @TavShakir. And if you're going to use the Starting Five pod as a reminder to take a shower and wash your behind, that's what we're here for. Shout out to y'all.
All right. Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.